Time to go home on a Wednesday with the Sports Rush. Another group that I did a lot of listening to back in the 1980s, Hall and Oates. Coming up this hour, we've got the judge, Phil Hauk. He's going to join us coming up at 5:20. Of course, the judge is the host of Fighting Irish Preview, set to start another season. And we're going to have to ask the judge exactly what season this is. I may have shortchanged him. I thought it was 24. Caleb thought it might be 26. So we'll find out. Like I said, the last two or three years because of COVID, kind of a blur. I don't remember what year is what. So we'll ask the judge coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You can also find us on our social media platforms. We're on Twitter at Brett Rump Sports, at Caleb Hatch. Also, the show is at Sports Rush 1380. And you can always follow the station at 1380 The Fan. Roger Goodell has spoken. And, of course, this whole kangaroo court thing is so messed up. I don't know how the players' union agreed with the NFL on how these whole disciplinary situations were going to be handled. But to me, if you are, a plaintiff, so to speak, in a court case where you're presenting a case against one of the players trying to get them suspended for a full season or more on an indefinite suspension, and the judge somewhat rules against you and in favor of the player, then both sides have a chance to appeal. Okay, that so far, that's understandable. But the appeal is then heard and decided by Roger Goodell. So there's a problem here. How would you feel going to court? I don't want to make it just like a criminal case, but let's just say divorce court. How would you like to go to divorce court? No one probably does, but go to divorce court, present your side for whatever the issue is that's pending, and then your soon-to-be ex presents their side, the judge makes a ruling, but then their side can appeal, and the appeal is going to be heard by their attorney, who makes the decision then on what the final ruling will be. There is something wrong with that whole scenario. I don't get it. I don't know how the NFLPA allowed a situation like this to happen, but I think it's on them because the NFL is doing what is under their right as far as the players' agreement. So Roger Goodell didn't say much. He was asked a couple of questions. He gave rather brief answers. It was clear he didn't want to say too much, but he did say a lot. He stacked a lot into a very short sentence. And he was asked specifically about the appeal for the NFL and why the NFL used their right to appeal in the Deshaun Watson case.
We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here. And they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
Egregious and predatory. Why do we even go through the appeal process at this point? It sounds to me like Roger Goodell's pretty much made up his mind that the suspension, in his mind, is nowhere near a satisfactory term, and that with the level of evidence that was presented, that this six games is not going to stand. It's going to probably be a year. I think Deshaun Watson would get out great if he can somehow manage to pull the 12 games that the NFL offered reportedly before the judge made her decision. But he didn't say much, but he basically, to me, somebody says, are you holding a pair? And someone just says pair of aces. I mean, you don't have to say a whole lot to know exactly what cards they're playing. And in this case, it sounds pretty clear to me that the decision's already been made. Public opinion That's already weighed in. Media, other players. I mean, you kind of feel like Roger Goodell is in a position where it doesn't matter what Deshaun Watson presents for his case. This is a decision that's going to be based on satisfying the game. Because the media is criticizing the length of the suspension. Players, other players criticizing it. Other owners criticizing it. I mean, basically, Roger Goodell has to answer to the court of public opinion somewhat. And so it sounds to me, I don't know, Caleb, I took from that Deshaun Watson is just wasting some exercise and probably money that goes to Rusty Harden if he actually thinks that they can present anything in an appeals case that is gonna change Roger Goodell's mind.
I mean, they set this up so they could ultimately give the punishment they wanted, but went through the whole process to look like it was fair, right?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, that's how the process is set up. How did the NFLPA ever get into this position?
They agreed to it. That's how.
I mean, you know what? It might be okay if you felt like the appeal went to an unbiased panel of maybe three people where it was majority rules. But the actual power here on the appeal to make the decision is in the hands of Roger Goodell. And we already know the NFL just presented an entire case with all their evidence trying to get a 1 year or more suspension of Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, it seems like a totally crazy thing. By the way, the other big subject that's going on with the NFL right now is Roger Goodell said that the Dolphins did not tank, that they've looked at the evidence and there was no evidence that the Dolphins tanked. And that's kind of a funny response, too, because it's not what he said, it's what he didn't say. He forgot to include the fact that the evidence indicated that the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, wanted to tank, but Brian Flores, the Miami coach, would not do it. So if you look at the evidence of what happened on the field, yes, the Dolphins did not tank. Thank you very much, Commissioner. You're right. The Dolphins did not tank. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't an effort being made from the very top, from the owner of the Miami Dolphins, to lose games intentionally with the thought of picking up a better draft pick. And then, of course, you've got the whole tampering case also that you're dealing with Miami. But So the commissioner, a busy guy right now as we get set for the season. Of course, this weekend, it's a full slate of exhibition football. We call it preseason, but it's really more of an exhibition. But if you call it an exhibition, people aren't going to want to pay the prices they have to pay to go see it. So you call it preseason. And you get to see the star players all of a quarter, if that. You think does Josh Allen even play this weekend?
Why would you play him? There's too much to risk.
Yeah, that's... So if you're in Buffalo and you're getting a ticket to this game, I don't know what the tickets cost. Are they the same rate as a regular season game, or are they discounted for preseason? Because I thought a season ticket package included X number of games.
Last I remember, it included preseason games. But since you're still selling 20 games, but you're selling only, you know, the three preseason. Now, granted, some years it's one preseason home game and the other years it'd be two, right?
Well, that probably depends on if you've got nine or eight home games.
Yeah, exactly. So they find a way to balance
it
out.
So you have 10 home games, right? Eight during the season, two during the preseason, because that's Colts' position this year. Last year, the Colts had nine games at home. What'd they finish? 6-3 in their home games? 5-4, 6-3? Wasn't good enough. But last year, the Colts got nine home games, eight road games. This year, the Colts are going to be home for eight games, nine on the road, but they do get two preseason games at home. And then what's crazy is the Colts fans can go to camp, and I don't think they're charging for the combined practices, are they? with the Detroit Lions. So you almost can go see the same action that you would see on the field, maybe even more of it with the ones versus the ones, and get in free at Westfield. Or you can go through the whole pomp and circumstance of the game at Lucas Oil Stadium and pay $100 to get a seat. And what's the beer at Lucas Oil Stadium? $10?
Probably 4-5 at home last season.
Oh, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. Wow. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Speaking of legal matters, kind of been the story of the summer, the PGA versus LIV. And PGA had a huge victory over LIV because you had three golfers that have joined the LIV Tour that were filing in court out in California, trying to get what essentially is a temporary restraining order that would stop the PGA from banning these three players from the FedEx playoffs. And so they could be able to play and still win the tournament championship, because all three players that joined LIV are younger players that qualified to be part of the championship tournament. And the court upheld the PGA's ruling banning those players from the FedEx, is it the FedEx Cup, the FedEx Championships, whatever it is that the golf is now entering, because week number one comes up this weekend. And so they were trying to push this into court very quickly and get all they wanted out of this was just the court to say, yes, we need to look at this further. And in the meantime, you can go ahead and play. And the court actually looked at it and said, nope, the PGA made it very clear what the risks were for you to go to the LIV Tour and to take that big paycheck. And one of the risks that they laid out very clearly in memos to the players was you would be banned. You would be suspended. And so they got their ruling. And it's in favor of the PGA, which is huge as far as a first step, because there's other players that are suing as well, claiming all kind of monetary damages and all this other stuff, so, including Phil Mickelson. 46862, questions, comments, or suggestions. By the way, I saw the pictures on Coach Kaufman's Twitter. The Mastodons enjoying their time in Portugal. They get to start on a beach city, in a beach city. So they're hanging out on the beach in Portugal. Like Greg Rakestraw said yesterday, Butler took their radio guy. The pictures look like they're having a fantastic time over in Europe. I'm not sure exactly what their schedule is. I know they're going to play a game in Portugal. I think they've got two games scheduled over in Spain, but they're over there for 10 days. But something that I noticed, speaking of Mastodons basketball, was earlier today, Joe Lunardi has released his initial bracket for the 2023 NCAA tournament. And this was a shock to me, that he had, in a one-bid league, which is basically win the championship to get into the tournament, like the Horizon League is, that Joe Lunardi listed Youngstown State as a 15th seed. The Mastodons won the regular season championship a year ago, shared it with Cleveland State. Cleveland State lost about 12 players off that roster. In fact, at one point, Cleveland State in May had four players that were working out on campus. And so you can't consider Cleveland State in the mix. A number of other teams, including Wright State, they had their two top players transfer. You have Oakland, that to me is always competitive, because Greg Campy up there somehow pulls something to bring in somebody's big name from another power conference team. And it seems like they've always got somebody. Last year it was the dude out of Marquette that they ended up with on their roster. But Oakland is always a team you've got to keep an eye on. But I it would be amazing to me, with the Mastodons returning six of their top seven players, Jalen Pipkins, the only significant contributor that they've lost, and they've replaced him with a transfer with an outstanding freshman. In fact, a couple of freshmen that are probably going to get a chance to play. They had a couple of guys that redshirted. So, I mean, this is a better team than a year ago. It's an experienced team. Most of the guys are 23, 24 years old, and yet Lunardi picks Youngstown State as a 15th seed. By the way, in that same region, I also noticed Indiana listed as the number 4 seed. So at on the first edition of Bracketology for Joe Lunardi from ESPN, he's got Indiana as a 4 seed. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Go ahead and let us know if you've got any questions about Notre Dame football, because we've got the judge, Phil Hauk from Fighting Irish Preview. He'll join us next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. You know, I do have to have Coach Kaufman do new rejoins when he comes back. I want him to do one in Portuguese. He'll need to do one in Spanish, because I got to test him and see what he learned when he was over there in Europe without me. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Your questions, comments, or suggestions. Of course, Notre Dame football just around the corner, already out on the practice field. And that means warming up and getting ready to enter the game is none other than the judge, Phil Hauk. It's another season of Fighting Irish Preview set to come your way. In fact, I guess it's already coming your way is what we should say. Maybe not in radio form, but you can always check it out online. Judge, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on. The crafty veteran broadcaster from Fort Wayne broadcasting days of yore is back. 26 years.
Okay, Caleb won.
I started when I was 10 years old, right?
Yeah, you did. That's right. You've got brain fog, too.
Indeed.
Hey, it's good to hear you back. I know it's been kind of a trying off season for you. It's good to have you back and ready to go with another season of Fighting Irish Preview.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. The era of Marcus Freeman, and, you know, lots of things have changed up in South Bend, but different from most coaching changes that you see, certainly in the history of Notre Dame's program, but in most situations when you get a coaching change, you know, Notre Dame's still loaded. I mean, Brian Kelly did not leave the cupboard bare. It's interesting to note that in the preseason polls, the coaches poll, which is the only one out right now, the AP will come out soon, but Notre Dame is ranked 5th preseason. And interesting, I have to throw this in there, that I noted that LSU was ranked 26th in that poll. So, you know, Brian Kelly likes a challenge. Good luck to him down in LSU. But there really is, you know, the pressure's got to be on a little bit with the first-year coach and Marcus Freeman, because Notre Dame's got talent, and they've got a tough schedule, especially right off the bat. But this team should win a lot of football games.
Yeah, I think Brian Kelly might have been surprised that there weren't more flights being booked from South Bend to Baton Rouge, meaning coaches, players, and everybody else packing up their belongings and heading down to Louisiana.
Yeah, he's got one
family.
One coach. Y'all, he's got one coach came on down, and he got one player, a punter.
That's it. One player come down, join the family in Baton Rouge. All right, enough about Brian Kelly. He's gone. Let's talk about where this team is at right now. And actually, to be honest, Judge, it's been as much talk in this offseason, not only Notre Dame recruiting, but Notre Dame as a potential Big Ten member. That's been the buzz over the last month or two. And I know Jack Swarbrick has addressed it. But I got to ask, because you look at the TV deal that is pending, and the reports are saying that ESPN ABC out of the Big Ten TV deal. And guess who happens to be in? It's NBC. Anything we should take out of that?
Well, I'm not sure if there's anything for certain, and it makes a lot of sense. NBC really needed to raise their profile for college football. I mean, they had Notre Dame. Obviously, that's pretty big, but you know, they needed a package. They needed something else, and they've got that now. And so there's obviously, that's attractive to Notre Dame. I think when you have more, that means more time devoted to college football, more time that NBC will spend promoting all of their college football programs and shows dedication to it. That's good for Notre Dame as we get in the future. Notre Dame's contract with NBC runs through 2025. And in the current market, they're actually, I mean, you can easily demonstrate that Notre Dame is being underpaid compared to what teams in the Big Ten are making right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that could be a reason why, and let's face it, the Big Ten is a natural fit. You never say never in this business. After all, Brian Kelly, what he did, I said that would never happen. But you just don't see Notre Dame being a fit for the SEC, and it's got to be the SEC or the Big Ten. And I think it's a real possibility. If the continued consolidation of these conferences results in a more difficult path for an independent like Notre Dame to get to the college football playoffs, and it also makes it more difficult for an independent like Notre Dame to financially continue to be competitive. In other words, they can't bring in the revenue as an independent that they could as a member of the Big Ten. Those are the two reasons why they are independent right now, the main reasons, and Jack Swarbrick will tell you that. And if those two things go away or are significantly impacted, Notre Dame, I think, is probably within a few years, it may well happen, Notre Dame would head to a conference. Notre Dame got a taste of that when they spent the pandemic year in the ACC. And I noted in a conversation with my partner, Tim Priester, the other day, I said, you know, I kind of enjoyed being in a conference. It was kind of interesting. And it didn't lessen my desire, nor anybody I knew, their desire and love for Notre Dame football. So, yeah, the sun will come up if Notre Dame goes into a conference, and it may well happen.
Judge Phil Hauck joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And, of course, as I mentioned, a lot of buzz about the recruiting that Marcus Freeman is doing. And I think he was already identified as an elite recruiter. But what have you been surprised at all with the level of talent that he has been able to attract without even having coached his first regular season game?
Well, you know, I all along and for years, 12 years of Brian Kelly, I sat there and I go, you know, he's recruiting better. He's recruiting pretty well. He's getting good classes. I guess Notre Dame is just not going to get in on the elite kids, the five-star kids, because of their Notre Dame and what that means and as far as admissions and things of that nature and preparation, you know, providing a easier path to the NFL, as Notre Dame folks would like to say, which you don't get at Notre Dame. Well, so I just didn't think it was really possible, but apparently I was wrong all those years because I'm the first one to admit it, man. I'm old enough that I don't mind admitting I'm wrong. And because Marcus Freeman is getting those kids now, he still hasn't signed that first class, and there's you know a lot of buzz out there about some possible decommitments that could happen. But even if that would happen, this class is going to be a top five class and should amount to being the best class that they've had in years. We'll know for sure come December. And the classes after that, he's already signed kids for those classes. Class for 2024 is looking for right now. It's the number one ranked in the country. He's got, I don't know, seven or eight commitments in that class. So Marcus Freeman I knew he was good, but man, I didn't know he'd be this good.
Of course, Notre Dame has two quarterbacks that are capable of being a starter. The decision hasn't become official. Are you surprised that Coach Freeman is waiting this long, and who is it going to be?
No, I'm not surprised. Freeman likes the competition. That's exactly what it makes the guys better in his estimation, and that's exactly what he said to us after practice, the first practice last Friday. The odds-on favorite is Tyler Buchner because of his dual threat capability, because he's just more of a runner. But Drew Pine, man, that guy just keeps on coming and looked outstanding in one practice that I saw in person, which was last Friday, was very sharp throwing the ball and moved well outside the pocket. He's a little smaller, but he's got a more of a classic throwing motion than Tyler Buchner. But most people who seem to think they know something about this and everything I know about it indicates it'll probably be Tyler Buchner, but I'm sure feeling good about the possibility of Drew Pine you know, coming in, because he's going to be needed. Your second string quarterback is going to play some role at some point during the year for certain. Him coming off the bench, I think he'd be outstanding in that role. And he's the kind of guy that's not going to get real upset if he's second string. If you ever talk to him, you know how dedicated he is to Notre Dame. He'll stick with the program, and he'll fill that role and probably fill it really well. But I got to believe it's going to be Tyler Buckner, and we'll probably know that sooner than later.
We expect Chris Tyree is going to be the feature back. What about the depth of the Irish at running back?
Well, that took a real hit when, obviously, with Kyren Williams going to the NFL last year, but perhaps that was expected. But the unexpected hit that it took was when Jadarian Price went down with an Achilles injury. But anyway, he's out for the entire year. Jadarian Price, incoming freshman, he was an early entry guy. And if, you know, in the spring game, he just ran circles around the Notre Dame defense. And that's not an easy thing to do, because that defense is really good. It's loaded. And all the buzz was that he had been a very, you know, they knew he was good, but he had been a very big surprise at how well he performed in the spring and would undoubtedly play a role. So that really impacts the depth that Notre Dame has in the running back room. Logan Diggs, who was last year's freshman that really showed up, is slowed by an injury, but he's coming along. He had, I think it was shoulder surgery. I'm not certain of that, what his injury was. But he's actually in limited contact right now and will be back during the first month, according to Marcus Freeman. So that leaves Chris Tyree, as you said, who's got some great potential, and he's done some good things over the years. He's looked good in practice. Audric Estime was last year's freshman, a big running back with a lot of promise. I thought he looked outstanding in the practice I watched. And then beyond that, though, right now going into that first game, it's going to be Tyree, Estime, and then another freshman named Jabron Payne. I don't know a lot about. He was a pretty highly recruited kid, but no experience. So you're right. It's a look in the running back room.
What about the line of scrimmage, both sides of the football? What's Notre Dame look like at the line?
Yeah, Brett, the offensive line has the chance to be just absolutely outstanding and one of the best in the country. Jarrett Patterson, who is a borderline All-American center, moves over to guard. Zeke Correll moves to a more natural position at center. And then you got the two tackles, the two young guys that were freshmen last year, Joe Ault and Blake Fisher. And then Josh Lugg, who had played tackle last year when Fisher was hurt, will move over into the other guard position. Those are all experienced guys with tremendous potential. And then you add into that mix Harry Hiestand, who's the highly thought of offensive coach. Offensive line coach is back, and you know, people are feeling pretty good about that offensive line. Defensive line, you know, excuse me, they say the games are won in the trenches, and the defensive line also looks well with Isaiah Foskey and the Adamalola brothers. Foskey should be an absolute beast rushing passer. And another guy I really, really like the surprise player on that line who just looked great in the practice I saw, and I'm hearing good things about his guy by the name of Riley Mills, who saw play last year. He'll be also a defensive end for the Irish this year. So there's depth on that defensive line. Howard Cross, the Amalolas, Jacob Lacey. There's a couple other guys who can play in the interior. Lots of good players in the trench for the Irish. Those are definitely two strong points.
How does Notre Dame handle the loss of Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah, that's, you know, once in a generation player, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most exciting players and fun players for a guy who's a real goofy nerd about his football like I am. I loved watching Kyle Hamilton play. I mean, he was just so natural in all of his movements, and he did things out on a football field that you just don't normally see. Okay, so you're right, big shoes. But you know, the Irish brought in a transfer, Brandon Joseph from Northwestern, who was best safeties in the country at Northwestern. And big things are expected of him. He's fit in real well in the spring, played well. So he'll be pretty good. You know, they're going to lose a little. You know, Hamilton only played, what, five games last year, and I still managed to survive without him. So, and there's some other depth Ramon Henderson, who came on at that position as a freshman last year, and then also DJ Brown and Xavier Watts can be DJ Brown's a veteran senior with a lot of experience. So there's going to be solid at the safety position. Maybe they don't have that super special player like Hamilton there, but I think they could be pretty good.
Judge, appreciate you joining us, and it's good to have you back. Looking forward to another season of Fighting Irish Preview on the radio coming up right after Talking Sports. We'll be looking forward to that September 3rd edition, right ahead of Notre Dame taking on Ohio State.
I love talking Fighting Irish football, as you can tell, and you know, and everybody that's listening can tell, and can't wait to kick off season 26 of Fighting Irish Preview here in a couple weeks.
And, of course, you can always follow everything happening in written form and even in video form. Fighting Irish Preview, available online, fightingirishpreview.com. Thanks, Judge.
Thanks very much, Brett. Good talking to you.
That is Judge Phil Hauk joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Nothing like getting a text from your son that he's getting married next month while I'm in the middle of talking to Judge Phil Hauk. Guess he just decided it's time to get married. So I guess there's a wedding coming up next month. I'll have to get some details. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. And, of course, we've gotten into it a little bit today, a couple of times, about the television deal for the Big Ten and whether or not we're supposed to assume anything since NBC is jumping into the mix for the Big Ten TV rights. And it looks like they're going to knock ABC/ESPN out of the Big Ten deal. In fact, here's the latest that we've got on the television rights for the Big Ten. Fox still will have Big Ten's, quote, A game, which would be the top game each week. And I imagine that would mean that they would have the opportunity to select among the games that are scheduled the game they want as their noon kickoff. But the other two networks, CBS and NBC, would be the ones splitting the, quote, B package. Now, the plan is that Fox will carry a game at noon, and then NBC would likely put the games at night in prime time. CBS would be putting the games into the 3:30 window, which is really the window that was vacated when CBS lost the SEC deal to ESPN. So, you know, CBS used to put their biggest SEC game generally on at the 3:30 time slot. So it would be Fox at noon, CBS at 3:30, and NBC with a primetime game on Saturday night from Big Ten country. And then, of course, NBC would follow it up with the Sunday night NFL game, meaning that on Saturday and Sunday nights, it would be football on the Peacock. But that's that. All the reports right now are that that is what is eventually going to be finalized, although the deals are not done. But right now, what has been somewhat negotiated through the preliminary stages and, in fact, even getting to a point where all that has to happen at this point is it needs to be finalized would be Fox at noon, CBS at 3:30, NBC, a primetime game, and that would take place. When is the deal? I don't have that in this story. Is this a deal that starts, because Notre Dame is under contract through 2025 with NBC, right? And so the Big Ten package, does that start in 24 or 25?
This would start in...
I don't think it's next season yet.
Let's see. Looking. Okay, 2023. Yeah.
So it is next season that it would start. And is next season when ESPN takes over SEC games from CBS?
Yes.
Who is ESPN putting on as their prime I still miss Vern Lundquist on the SEC games on CBS. I thought he's one of the greats, as far as I'm concerned, in calling college football.
I would guess it would be Fowler and Herbstreit as their prime lineup, since they won't be doing that Saturday night football game or whatever.
They won't have a Saturday night game still? I mean,
wouldn't. I mean, you got to remember, they would do Big 12, they would do Big 10, they'd do Pac-12 on occasion. They won't have the rights to the Big 10, though, so that changes what game they would do.
So the biggest game, because you'd have, what is it, Sean McDonough that is their second guy?
I think so, yeah. So they have SEC, the first two time slots, and 7:30, 8 o'clock would be SEC or ACC, would be a potential programming move.
So SEC would have a noon kickoff, a 3:30 kickoff would be a featured game, unless they have one at night, and then that would fit. By the way, you know, we talked to Mike Cousins, our former TinCast broadcaster that is now one of the broadcasters for ESPN. And when we talked to him a month ago, he did not know who his partner was going to be for this season of college football. But we do know now that Mike Cousins is being paired with Max Starks, a new partner for Mike Cousins this year, as he'll be paired with Max Starks, who I don't know much about. I think he might have played for Pittsburgh for the Steelers at one point in the NFL, but that just came out earlier today, in fact, is when I found out about that. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862, do you think that it is any indication as to the future of Notre Dame when NBC jumps in and makes a deal with the Big Ten to knock ABC ESPN out of the negotiations? Basically, the deal just priced ESPN with what they're paying for SEC football. It priced them out of the option of having both. And should we read something into that, or are we becoming too analytical trying to figure this out? But 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Last night, TinCaps bats quiet in a 3-1 loss to Lake County. TinCaps took a 1-0 lead, and you know they've won over 67% of the time when they scored first. They only win 19% of the time when the opponents score first. So the odds were in their favor last night, but unfortunately, Lake County ended up scoring the final three runs of the game and won 3-1 in the opener of the series in Eastlake, Ohio. Strong start from Efrain Contreras and Joshua Mears. His first at-bat on the road, left the yard. Didn't only leave the yard, it left the entire ballpark. He knocked it all the way over the left field bleachers and out of the park at Eastlake, Ohio. And he just got such tremendous power. But the crazy thing is the guy's got 12 home runs this year as a tin cap in his time that he's played in Fort Wayne. And I think that's in about 50 games. 12 home runs, 11 of them are on the road. And like last night, first at bat, after being home for a week, his first at bat in last night's game, he plants one out of the ballpark. And Tin Caps, though, went on to lose 3-1. Game two of the series comes up tonight. John Nolan is in Northeast Ohio. He'll bring you all the play-by-play coverage right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Speaking of coverage, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM set for our high school football season. You know, I get this all the time. How do you decide what games you do? Well, we have a committee. It's kind of a committee of one, but it's a committee of like two or three people, because a number of people can weigh in on recommendations for games that we do. But here's what it comes down to. A lot of times it depends on the site, and we don't, you know, somebody will say, why don't you ever do, for instance, Leo? Well, we're going to try to get into Leo this year, but here's been the problem. Press boxes have been outgrown. Quite honestly, football has become such a big sport, and there's so many more there's so many more media options. And for some reason, the press boxes have shrunk. It seems that way because it's like all of a sudden trying to get space in some of these press boxes has become almost impossible. And so we have to go where we know we are welcome. And so it's not always our call. Sometimes we're told, if you want to come, you would have to sit in the bleachers, or if you want to come, you won't be able to get into the press box, whatever. And our equipment has to be protected from the elements. It has to be protected from sunshine. It has to be protected from, obviously, the rain, if it were a rainy night. And so we have to go where we know we can get seats in the press box. And that's why we appreciate when we do broadcast from certain sites, we appreciate the hospitality so much because they give us spots to sit, broadcast the game. And then the other factor that goes into this is not just where we can get and where we are welcome to broadcast from, but also another factor is the signal, because we use a cell phone based internet connection, and in some sites they have better service than other sites. Some now are the 5G, some are outdated systems. The bottom line is we don't want to go and set up at a high school to promote and bring you play-by-play of a football game if we aren't going to be able to have a signal. And we've had two or three places that we've gone where that has become an issue. And there are stadiums that we would go to and we would broadcast from anytime we had a chance, but we just can't get the proper signal. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Coming up tonight, Tin Caps baseball. And we'll have White Sox Royals, which will be joined in progress after the Tin Caps finish up their game in East Lake, Ohio. Coming up tomorrow on the Sports Rush, of course, we've got our weekly visit with Parkview Sports Medicine. Also, I believe tomorrow we got KB. Kevin Bowen will be joining the show to talk a little Colts football. Thanks to all of our guests. We'll be back tomorrow 4 to 6 with another edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.